1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we have a flashback by request. And again, visit our website at www.philhendryshow.com. We'd like contact information on you so we can stay in touch during the summer months as we plan yet another generation of our website. Again, our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. We have a flashback by request. We'll read a little bit of email. Let's go to the phones. This is Austin. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good.
Phil, hold up for a minute. Add in. Philly, if you've seen the story and...
Pardon me for a minute, sir. Are you busy doing something else?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm playing my son in ping pong, but I'm... did you see the story, sir, in the news, and this comes from the Associated Press, on the origin of the AIDS virus? This had to do with some studies done at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Briefly.
If I could, and then I'd like to comment. According to scientists, non-human primates carry a version of the AIDS virus called SIV or simian immunodeficiency virus. Now, the story goes on to say that, quote, presumably someone in rural Cameroon was bitten by a chimp or was cut while butchering one and became infected with the ape virus. I have wanted to make this comment, and the reason, God, the reason...
Maybe you're going to have to stop playing ping pong.
No, no, it's all right. Add out. The reason that...
sir, if it's distracting you...
No, the reason why I'm calling is I was a member, and I'm not proud of this, but I was a member of the Ku Klux Klan for a 10-year period of my life. It was a period of my life where I was confused. I was looking for answers, and I was looking for answers in the wrong places. And I believe that I have been, I've had my eyes open to the reality of the world. I'm a family man, and I am a father, and I love my children. I believe in a good, strong, and decent society. But the problem I've got with this story, as I was reading it, I was reading it from my own erudition, if you will, and then I came to this. A man in the from Kinshasa in a nearby country of the Congo was the first man known to be infected with HIV. Well, then it goes on to say someone in rural Cameroon was bitten by a chimp or was cut while butchering one and became infected. Now, the reason why they say that is the same reason why we have this sort of tiptoeing by the liberal media. And I just want to know when it's going to stop. Okay. You're going to have to chase it if it goes under the TC.
Hey, sir.
Yes.
If you want to talk to me or play ping pong, which is it?
I'm sorry. All right. Add out when I get back. You're cheating.
Now, what are you talking about the liberal media?
Well, this is a story planted by the liberal media. It says here, presumably a man in rural Cameroon was, quote, I'm quoting now, bitten by a chimp or cut while butchering one and became infected with the ape virus. Now, the liberal media has been tiptoeing and pussyfooting and doing a soft shoe around the truth for longer than I care to even imagine. And I want to know when the truth is finally going to get spilled out. Because,
well, what is the truth?
Well, you're talking about the AIDS virus. You're talking about HIV. Now, this is a virus that's transmitted by way of sexual contact. But because of the liberal media, they don't...
Well, what? All right, so spit it out. What are you trying to say that's...
I'm saying that when they say a man got AIDS in Africa because he was bit by a chimp, I mean, wait, boy, they really know how to...
So?
Well, I would put it to you this way. I think the guy was given it to an ape and got it that way.
Yeah, the guy was having sex with a chimp.
Yes. And they don't want to say it because then that makes the people of the Congo look like a bunch of chimp, chimp lovers or whatever you want to call it. And I think that it's...
So you think that it would be a racially bigoted thing to say that the guy was having sex with a monkey?
Yes. Because then people would say, well, look at that now. They're saying that they're having some kind of a chimp, you know, a chimp festival, or I don't know what they call it when you get together with chimps. But
it's called bestiality, sir.
All right.
What do you mean a chimp festival?
Hey, you know what? I'm just trying to be politically correct. I don't want to say it.
And so what's tightening your jaws about this? You're saying
what tightens my jaws is they just come right out and say a guy in Kinshasa in 1959. You know, got rude with a monkey. The guy was going chimping or whatever you want to. You can put it in a way that doesn't make it
going chimping. So that's not going to sound the least bit cavalier or frivolous, huh?
Well, look, if you call it bestiality, they'll go nuts on you down there. I don't know if you've ever traveled through Africa, but they'll go wild all over you if you do any kind of.
All right, sir. What's happened? You were in the Klan for 10 years.
Yes, sir. But that I am not a racist.
But just the people of Africa down there will go wild all over you, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what. Have you ever traveled down the Congo River?
The Congo River?
Mr. Henry, I was part of a merchant marine fleet that was in the Congo in 1960 during the rebellion against the Belgian authorities, okay? I saw a lot. And I had traveled down the Congo River aboard the African Queen. And
oh, okay, Humphrey.
Okay, well, screw you then, man. But some guy's going chimping down there, and nobody was
going chimping, huh? All right, the guy had sex with an ape. All right, there you go. There you go. It's nothing that couldn't happen here.
Oh, yeah, right. What are you trying to say now? Are you trying to...
You just want to get your little dig in, man. Hi, I was in the Klan for 10 years, but that doesn't make me racist. By the way, they go chimping down there in the Congo. I was on the African Queen.
Have you ever been down the Congo River?
No, I have not.
You've never been into deepest, darkest Africa. Sir, I can hear laughter, and I can assure you that this is not a laughing matter.
Look, man, you're using terms from, like, what is this, Dr. Livingston, I presume? It's an emerging continent, okay?
Yeah, okay, whatever. The fact is, that guy was in the midst of a chimpanzee festival, man. And no one wants to come right out and just spit it out and say the guy went chimping. No, what they want to say is, oh, well, he was cutting one, he got bled.
All right, the guy had sex with an ape, okay?
Yeah, you better believe it. Sex with an ape. Now, how does that grab you?
It's sick and weird and funky, man, okay? And I'm not going to indict the entire African continent because there's parts of Oklahoma right now where there's a guy chasing a freaking steer around a pen.
Don't you make fun of my childhood.
Yeah. Whatever. We did a bit once where we said that Patient Zero was actually Tarzan and that he had gotten it from Cheetah the chimp, and then Tarzan gave it to Boy. Boy gave it to Jane, and then she brought it to North America. Well, and it turned out it was true. Okay. 1-800-449-86. What's going on, bud?
Add in.
Will you? Guy's playing ping pong with his kid. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
You mess with a NASCAR fan, and you might as well be messing with the Bakersfield chimp.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Anyway, thanks to everybody who came to the Phil Hendry Celebrity No Limit Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament to benefit my friend's place. We had it on Saturday. We had a great turnout. 300 poker players and some celebrity folks turned out, including Vince Vaughn rolled by. That dude's huge, man. You ever stood next to him? He's about 6'5". But anyway, he comes bopping in. He was a very nice guy and was very appreciative of the charity and was gracious enough to take some pictures with us. And we had Ryan Stiles and we had, Josh Molina and we had Nicole Sullivan, who was on her cell phone half the time. But she's a nice lady. Very, very nice of her to turn out. And everybody was very, very sweet. There was one guy there, some Hollywood producer. I didn't even know this guy who was invited, I guess, by somebody else. And, you know, I should know better. I should know better. So we're sitting in this green room, and this producer starts in about how America's going down the crapper because of the economy and this and that and something else. So naturally, it rolls around to terrorism. And then I'd about lost it when I heard this guy call the terrorists soldiers. Now, look, like I said, I don't want to be political no more, man. I mean, I know what I like, and I know who I'm going, who I vote for, and I know what I support. And I just try to stay out of everybody's way. But I did make myself a promise. The next time I hear somebody just spewing unadulterated swill, I got to say something. You know, I won't sit and listen to it anymore. I'm just not, I don't know about you, I'm done listening to it. This guy started in with this, they're soldiers. Because I said, you know me, I was just going on about ragheads and stuff. He said, oh, no, they're soldiers. I said, soldiers? I said, hey, I got the Nicholas Berg video in the car, man. You want to watch it with me? And that's when Ryan Stiles kind of broke the tension. He said, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to get my head sawed off in this poker tournament. But this guy, when I said the whole, you know, thing about Nick Berg, he's looking, oh, like it's a pain in the ass to have to bring that up. Yeah, just when he was making the real groovy Hollywood point, I had to throw a little freaking ice water reality on it all. Oh, my God. I don't even think the guy, you know, no big thing. I mean, it's my tournament, and I know who I invited. Now, I don't even know who this guy is. He's there. He's some hotshot producer. Good for him, right? But I don't know him. And I walked in, I introduced myself, and he's sitting there looking at me like I'm a piece of crap that he just scraped off of his boot. Like, I think Ryan invited him. Who was that douchebag, Ryan? I'm kidding. I guess he went in and kicked ass. Whatever. Good. Whatever's best for the charity is fine. So we did raise a nice piece of change. We appreciate the good people there at the Bicycle Casino in Bell Gardens. Nice place. If you like a lot of guys in T-shirts and baseball caps. And no, it's a great place. Just off the 710 freeway in Bell Gardens. Cool place and generous folks. And we had a very, very good time. Marie and I hung around. The drinks were free. And, of course, that wasn't good. But had a very, very nice evening. Then we went on up to Monty's because the guys were gracious enough to give us a limousine for the night. You know, when you got a limo for the night, if they say, oh, we're going to pick you up in a limo and that'll take you home, Mr. Ring, it's great. Well, my wife, and she's right, she's of the mind, well, let's milk this. Come on, baby. So we had the guy drop us off at Monty's. What a steak they serve at that place. You been to Monty's in Topanga Canyon? You got to go, man. I don't give a crap about Ruth. Ruth's Chris is fine. The Beverly Hills Ruth's Chris is the best. And I've been to some great steak joints. Shula's out there in Miami Lakes. Great. Arnie Morton's. Fantastic. But man, I'll tell you what, none of them beat Monty's out there on Topanga Canyon. Oh my God, is it good. Big, fat, thick slab of meat to shove in your mouth. Friend. And then they have that, and you know what, this is great. So now they got the porterhouse, which is what I get. It's about, a, I don't know, 68 ounce, you know, it's a monster. And then they bring to your table the blue cheese dressing for the steak, or the butter, or the this, or the that, or the this, or the that. They got all kinds of sides. Now, somebody tell me this, why do they give you an onion ring with your steak in some places? You ever gotten that? You don't put the onion ring right on top of the steak? I get it with the fried onions, but oh, my God, do they make a hell of a steak there. And then they had that. Let's see, what else did we get? I had a couple of pops of Julio. They served on Julio Blanco and on Añejo. Now, that's a class joint. And a big fluted glass of Heineken. Maria had about 16 martinis. Thank God we had a car waiting for us. A lot of fun. Thanks. Good to see all you guys. Don't forget, our website has contact information. We want your contact information. We want to stay in touch with you guys through the summer. www.philhendryshow.com. Now, it's time for our flashback by request. This is from Alisa in Bakersfield, and she writes, hey, Phil, can you please play Scared Straight, the McDonald's edition? I lose it every time the customer says he wants an ass-kicking with a Coke. Please play it for those who haven't heard it yet. Thanks, Alisa in Bakersfield, otherwise known as Malacharoon on Sweet Feathery Jesus. That's weird. Here it is, hon.
And now the Phil Hendry Show presents Scared Straight, the McDonald's edition.
Yeah? What do you want?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know if you heard me. I did my car.
What do you want?
Yes, sir. Are you the drive-through?
Yes, I'm the... Am I the drive... No, I'm not the drive-through. I'm not the drive-through, okay? I'm just some guy sitting here on a microphone, sitting in a room all by myself with a headset on, and there's no restaurant here. There's nothing. get on or what?
Yeah, hi. Could I get...
Hi.
Could I get a... I want to get the quarter pounder with cheese. Can I get the double?
Okay, quarter pounder with cheese.
Did you hear me?
I hear you. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to come out of this booth, I'm going to go down to your car, and I'll kick your ass. You want that? How about that? How about if you order one ass-kicking with a Coke and French fries? Go ahead, say that.
Well, I don't want...
Say it! Then I'll get the rest.
I'd like to...
Say it!
I'd like to get one ass-kicking.
Are you laughing at me? Next. Get the next car.
Oh, wait a minute.
Get the next car! Welcome to McDonald's. What do you want?
Hi, we want... Shut up, kids.
Oh, Jesus, a car full of kids, just as I thought.
Well, what kind of language is that?
Listen, sister, order fast, and then move on, because the sooner you and those kids and that whole thing you're driving are out of my sight, the better off I'm going to be and the better a day I'm going to have. Now, what do you want?
Well, you know what, I just think I'm going to go to Jack in the Box.
Oh, I'm really threatened by that. I'm so threatened. They're going to go to Jack in the Box and get ptomaine poisoning. Have a nice day. Go get your freaking sourdough, Jack. Bug off.
Well, wait a minute.
I said to bug off. I'm not taking your order now, and I'm not letting you in the restaurant. Eddie, lock the doors. You see some fat broad with four kids? Don't let them in. Next.
Yes, sir. I want to get some lunch, please.
Oh, could you yell a little bit louder? I can't hear you. And would you make your accent thicker, please?
Yes, can you hear me now?
No, I need you to yell louder.
Okay, how's this?
You suck. Next.
Hi, do you still have the coupons for the bonus jack?
Bonus jack, huh? Wrong restaurant. Now, you just screwed up.
I'm sorry, I thought...
No, you just screwed up. I don't want to talk to you. Next.
Yeah, do you sell the USA Today?
Next.
Hi, can I get a large Coke? That's all I want.
No, you can't.
I'm sorry?
I said, no, you can't.
Why not?
Because if you're coming in here with your cheap-ass attitude for one large Coke, go over to the 7-Eleven, get a big jug of that Mountain Dew or Jolt, and don't bother me. I'm not just selling you one Coke.
And no ice.
No ice? Tell you what I'll do. I'll pee into a cup. Now get out.
Hi, I want to order one of those ice cream swirly schmiskebobber. I don't know what it's called.
Well, you better get the name right before I give it to you.
I'm sorry?
I said get the name right before I give it to you.
I want to get... McDonald's has these swirly ice cream deals. That's what I want.
What's it called?
I don't know.
Well, then you don't get it.
And I want it with nuts and fruit.
Yeah, I'll give it to you with nuts. Don't even worry about that. What's it called?
I don't know.
Get out of here, then.
Well, I want the...
I said to get out. Next.
Can we get two double cheeseburgers, a large order of fries, and a Coke?
Chinaman. Yeah, okay. Pull around to the front. That'll be $300.
Well, I'm not going to pay that.
Well, then you don't get to eat, do you? Next.
Is this thing on?
No, it's not.
I'd like a chicken Caesar salad and a fajita and a Big Mac, no lettuce.
That's too complicated. Get something better.
I said I want a chicken salad.
Too complicated. And by the way, I don't want to give you that. You look like some fat tub of guts. What are you, trying to go do the chicken Caesar salad? Then you want to load along the lard, you fat ass.
Hi, can I get two apple pie?
No.
I want to get two apple pies for a dollar, and I'd like to get...
How about two black eyes for a dollar? I quit.
Hello? 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 I have a coupon.
Hey, Phil, did you see Guadalcanal Diary this weekend on the Turner Classic Movies? Boy, there's a scene where they put the blowtorch right into a foxhole. Scratch one squint eye. Now,
get out of here.
We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, him and his ping pong.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So naturally, I was sitting around this weekend. Part of what I did was watch a lot of war movies. And I watch war movies because, well, I want to be in a war. I want to be a soldier. And I lack the testosterone. I don't have the manhood. So I just sit there and fantasize and imagine that I'm a warrior killing the enemy. And that I gladly and willingly admit this to you shows just how pathetic I am. Thank you and good night. Actually, you know, it's funny. That's what people think. You know, when you watch a war movie, oh, yeah, you wish you were in a war. You just don't have it. Yeah, that's right, Ace. You're right. That's exactly what it is. Whatever you want to think. Actually, I would have made a lousy soldier, but what I am by nature, by profession, is a storyteller, and that's what I do. And so I see my job more or less when it comes to those topics is to be the storyteller, to be the voice for those people who went off to battle for our country and do it in a way that might be dramatic at times, humorous at others. Give them, a voice that makes a little bit of sense and is, you know, actually supports them as opposed to, just trying to find the next baby killer. You know, I just saw the headline, and no wonder people aren't reading newspapers anymore. No wonder newspapers are just boring. I mean, you talk about newspaper circuit. When's the last time anybody out there? I read a newspaper this past month. One. Now, you walk by the newsstand, you see the headline. What's the latest? I think the L.A. Times is trying to find more baby killer. You know, the L.A. Times won't rest, man, until they dig up the war criminals, man. They haven't been having a very successful time of it. And as a result, what is their circulation's down like 20%? I mean, nobody's reading that. The reason why they've got any paper sales at all is because you just can't find good birdcage liner when you need it. Anyway, I'm watching the war movies, and I watched one. I watched a whole bunch of them this weekend, just sort of comparing the movie-making style and the eras in which they were made. There's one called Guadalcanal Diary. Now, this was a famous book that was written by a journalist who traveled to Guadalcanal during World War II with the Marines. And he landed with the Marines on Guadalcanal and sort of chronicled this very epic battle. But the movie they made from this book was so horrible, so unbelievable, and yet, in its own way, charming. Because that when Austin just called, he said, scratch one squint eye, that's from Guadalcanal Diary. Now, I ask you, isn't that racist? How come they get that? Why do they show that? Also in Guadalcanal Diary, and William Bendix is in it. You know, anybody know William Bendix? William Bendix is this like the typical Brooklyn guy. Just, hey, what are you guys doing? I'm going to the Ebbets Field. A real dumbass, right? Like, yeah, sure, he's a Marine. You got it. Yeah, with a waist that's like a 60-inch waist. Okay, anyway. So there he is, and he's peering through some binoculars, and I swear to God he said this, man, you can see their buck teeth from here. I swear to God it's in the movie. And I remember looking at it and going, God, that is racist. I should turn this off. Well, I'll watch a little bit more. Every other word was monkey this and monkey that. Look at them monkeys. Hey, these monkeys that come out of the... And he says, well, you know, we're going to have to... Yeah, but they aren't men. They're animals. They're monkeys. But that scratch one squint eye line, woo! And then they're standing around, and they're talking about how they're going to kick ass on the Japanese. And one of the guys actually does the whole thing. He pulls his eyes back. I swear to God, this is in the movie, man. It's showing this on Memorial Day. He pulls his eyes back and bucks out the teeth and goes, oh, yeah, told you all, you know, all that stuff. Really very offensive. And I took notes. And I wrote to Turner Classic Movies, I said, please, more. So I watched that one. What else did I watch? I watched Bataan with Robert Taylor. That also has a very classic scene at the very end, because Bataan was a defeat. It was the initial stages of the war, and we were driven out of the Philippines by the Japanese. And, of course, the Bataan Death March is very famous. American soldiers were marched by the Japanese until they were dead. Of course, that was probably our fault. We probably goaded them into it because of our imperialism. But in any event, A lot of our guys got malaria and died and were beaten and tortured, but I guess they deserved it, right? So, in this movie, Bataan, at the very end, Robert Taylor, with the old tin hat, you remember those tin hats that he's got this machine gun, he's firing into the camera because he's the last guy left. And you can see these Japanese guys creeping toward him. And I swear to God, the line is, "Come on, you dirty monkeys." This Robert Taylor, the good-looking movie idol, just, "Come on, you dirty monkeys." He's like, and he's going crazy. He's just firing his, and then the sort of an epilogue rolls. "Yes, we'll be back on Bataan," that kind of thing. Then I watched another one called Hell is for Heroes with Steve McQueen. Man, this flick. Woo! James Coburn is in this. This is a very young James Coburn. He crawls across a landmine. This was probably the first of the reality-bent war movies. But there's a scene in there. Harry Gardino plays a sergeant. And you know, Steve McQueen. So McQueen, he's angry at McQueen. He says, "I'll tell you one thing right now, pal. You don't ever go over my head, right?" So McQueen says to him, "You wave that finger in my face one more time, I'll tear your head off." And Gardino says, "Well, you know what? You're going to get your chance. Just as soon as this is over, you can have a piece of me anytime, any place, anywhere. And you want to know something? That's the best thing I got to look forward to." Now, that's Gardino's line. He turns, leaves the pillbox, and is hit by a mortar shell. Yeah, you know, "That's the best thing I've got to look forward to. Blam!" Now, this is a war movie. You say, "Well, you shouldn't laugh at that." Really? Shouldn't I? Guess who else was in it? Bob Newhart, and they had him doing phone bits. This isn't a war movie. I would say it's a good movie, though. Even the Newhart stuff wasn't bad, because he's having to pretend like he's talking to headquarters, and he's saying things like, "No, we can't, no more soldiers here, sir. There's a war going on in Japan. Why don't you send them over there?" Anyway, so I watched that one, and then I watched, Sands of Iwo Jima. That's pretty good. The one with John Wayne. Now, there's a scene in there. What happens? He kicks Forrest Tucker's ass because Forrest Tucker went to get some ammo, but he stopped and had coffee. Meanwhile, the two guys he left in the foxhole, they get bayoneted by the Japanese. And John Wayne finds out about it and beats Forrest Tucker's ass for it. So that was pretty worth it. And then finally, of course, the classic From Here to Eternity. And in that movie are some of the greatest lines of all time, where Ernest Borgnine pulls a knife on Frank Sinatra, and Burt Lancaster breaks it up by saying, "You can't kill that man because it'll just make more paperwork for me." And a whole bunch of other crap, like, you know, Ernest Borgnine calls Frank Sinatra "dirty little wop." It's great. When's the last time you could see that? When are you going to see a movie where Frank Sinatra has to be called, is called a wop and he's got to take it? So that's what I did. Then I went swimming with the kids. We got a brand new dog. And that dirty, filthy, mangy thing. I said to my daughter, "Now, honey, you got to give the dog a bath." "Well, I don't know what that..." I said, "It's like day 15 and it smells like just a walking turd. Give the dog a..." Guess who wound up giving it a bath? You got it. Good Memorial Weekend. Many more to come. And in the news, Howard Stern settled his lawsuit with CBS. CBS sued him for $200 million. It cost him $2 million. Big deal. Big lawsuit, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Go to MSN.com. There's a picture of that volcano. Where was that? On the Big Island, Hawaii? They got pictures of the volcano on Hawaii. I guess that's Hawaii. From this past month. They also have pictures of Mars and Saturn. You know, when I was doing a radio show on a rock station years and years ago, I was at a station called K-West. And I used to do this little two-minute comedy bit in between all those wonderful Led Zeppelin records that we played. And I got a letter. In those days, people wrote letters. I got a letter from the guys at JPL, Jet Propulsion Lab. I had done some bit about Voyager. Remember when Voyager went up? It was like 1978 or something like that. And it sent back these amazing pictures of Saturn and Jupiter. And these dudes, I guess they liked the bit so much, they sent me these huge posters of these pictures of Saturn and Jupiter. And I went out and I had them framed and I hung them in my house. And I would tell people, "Look at JPL sent these." And they say, "Well, why are those there?" I said, I don't know. I just hung them there. They're not particularly, you know, I've seen one picture of Jupiter. You've seen them all. But look at these. And then out came that Star Trek movie where a guy mates with Voyager, and I forget it. You know, the guy had sex. Remember that, bud?
Yeah, he got it on with Voyager, and it's talking about perved.
Completely perved out. Here's an email, and this comes to us from Todd, backstage pass holder for a long time. Todd says, you know, the first show of yours my brother and I ever heard had R.C. Collins talking about his top ten movies of all time. My brother came into the house talking about this little kid who loved the movie Predator. Predator is a big-time favorite for my bro and I, so I turned on the radio and we started laughing our asses off. I remember I immediately grabbed the phone and started dialing, but the line was busy. Ever since that moment, my brother and I have been huge fans of your show. Good luck in your new ventures. Todd, thanks, man. As I remember that bit with RC, his favorite movie was Predator, and then his second favorite movie was like The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance or something. Really twisted. Our email address, by the way, is phs@philhendryshow.com. And over the summer months, as I mentioned to you earlier in the program, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to get contact information from you so that you can stay hooked into the audio archives that we're going to be expanding. And when I say expanding, we're going to have full shows. Every possible show that we've got will be there. And I learned something very fascinating this weekend. Our shows, it's an amazing world. Our shows we have on DAT tape, but we also have them stored. They're just in the mother-father computer. In other words, they're just there, man. They're digitized and sitting there. So even if you don't have the tape, it's kind of like, in other words, every phone conversation that you ever have is just digitally locked out there in space and the FBI can pick it up whenever they want. Kind of like that. So we have every single show and then some. And with your contact information, we'll be able to keep you guys abreast of the things that we're putting up on the website and let you know what's going on with the Phil Hendry Show. So again, our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com and our website address is www.philhendryshow.com. A top official at Comedy Central has apologized on behalf of the members of a fictitious news crew who misrepresented themselves to two faculty members during separate tapings of a forthcoming series called Dog Bites Man. Tony Fox, executive vice president for corporate communications at Comedy Central, said on Tuesday that members of the independent production crew responsible for the program had mishandled the two incidents by not acknowledging that they were fake news reporters when people challenged their credentials. Unfortunately, the tactics of this particular production company are not consistent with what we think are good business practices. We're in the business of producing entertainment and comedy, not upsetting people. And let there be no mistake. The guy is upset. This guy's name is Fred Smoller, an associate professor of political science at Chapman University. He said he was contacted by a company called Central Productions and asked to speak on media issues in a March 30th panel discussion at a local racket club in Orange County, California. The discussion, he was told, would be filmed as part of American Eye, a documentary series on major public policy issues. Mr. Smoller showed up on the appointed evening, signed a routine waiver acknowledging that the producers could edit the video footage as they saw fit, and accepted a $150 honorarium. The 60 or 70 members of the audience, many of whom he recognized as local residents with strong political interests, were paid $20 apiece and also signed waivers. Mr. Smoller's fellow panelists included a reporter from a local business journal and Kevin Beacon, a television reporter for KHBX in Spokane. Mr. Smoller said it became obvious that something was awry when Mr. Beacon described an interview in which his subject propositioned him. One audience member who called out after deducing that it was all an elaborate joke was escorted outside and given $60 in hush money. Afterwards, said Mr. Smoller, they heard us out of the building and refused any of our questions. He and several of the audience members were initially told that they might be the victims of a financial scam since they had all been asked their Social Security numbers as payment. Well, anyway, this guy figured out later that Mr. Beacon was actually Matt Walsh, an actor appearing in such comedies as Old School, but he couldn't get anybody to answer his question until he hired a lawyer and told his story to the L.A. Weekly and the Orange County Weekly. That's when Mr. Fox called from Comedy Central and apologized. See, I'm telling you, and I don't care who believes it, these shows, when we went on the air in 1996 in Los Angeles, there was nothing like our radio show on television or radio. All of a sudden, these shows started popping up where people were being put on, and they didn't quite know how to do it, and they still don't. And I remember them contacting me and saying, hey, Phil, would you like to do a TV show based upon what you do? I said, I don't know how you could do it on TV. I honestly, well, how about if you get into makeup and you play these characters? No, it's not going to work. Well, what if we had, you know, they would try a million different ways to figure out how to do it. And then they finally will put these shows on, and they just don't get it, man. They don't know how to present the material. They don't know how to walk that edge of reality, see? So they wind up making jackballs out of it. And Comedy Central, when are you guys going to stop lifting my show and making it into something else? Why don't you just hire me? Good God almighty. What was that other show they had, Mark? Remember that one?
Dog Turd?
Yeah, Dog Turd. That's right, bud. Why do you keep telling me to break, bud?
Because you got
to
break.
All right. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I remember the show now. It's called Crossballs. You remember that? Which is was a total lift of what I do. I don't care what anybody says. And the other show now is this turd called, what is this thing? Dog Bites Man. Why don't you cats get a clue, man? If you hire me, I can show you how to do it right and funny. Both at the same time. And it'll cost you, well, it'll cost you a lot more, but anyway, I don't need you. I got a deal coming up with Indian TV. I got a pack with Pakistani TV. Yeah, baby. Boy, do I need a drink.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.